an insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
If I'm being rude myself, I think if you know I did play well enough, I don't think there would be any. We got a few wins. Of course, I'm glad about that. But you know, there's areas that you know I could be better at and continue to work on those and continue to get better.
It's time to feed you some football. It's NFL Lunch on Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Cordell Woodland here for the Bobster with Vinny Serrato. Quick draw McGraw behind the glass. You just heard from Steelers quarterback Justin Fields, who, as of right now, it doesn't seem like he's the starting quarterback anymore. And you just heard Fields talking about him potentially losing his job. And long story short, he said, you know, he doesn't feel like he's played at his best. He didn't sound, I'm sure he's disappointed, you know, but he kind of took accountability on what he could control and felt like he didn't play good enough to keep the job. And he feels like if he did, they wouldn't be having this conversation.
Yeah, I think they're looking for a little bit more, you know, in the passing game. And, you know, he's not the greatest of reading coverage and stuff. And he's an outstanding runner, and they don't have a good offensive line, and he saved them a bunch. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how that works out Sunday night, because the Jets have a good defense, as we heard, you know, Brian, when we had him on, talk about, you know, that their center is what, the third string center playing. So, and with Russell Wilson, who doesn't move that good anymore, it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'm just curious to see. Like, no doubt, I think the pass game will pick up. But how much? Is it going to be substantially? Because I'm wondering if, does the pass game get better? Does it improve as much as the run game probably decreases? I think the run game is probably going to take a hit with the pass game going forward. But how much? And we talked about the offensive line being banged up. Not only is Russ not as mobile as Justin Fields, but he holds the ball forever. So it's just kind of a recipe for disaster in my mind. I think there is an avenue for the pass game to pick up. They've got George Pickens. We heard Brian mention Calvin Austin. They got Pat Freiermuth as well. So they've got some guys to get the ball to. I just don't know if, even if the pass game does improve, will it be enough when it's all said and done to say that the move was worth it? We'll see. Elsewhere in the NFL, let's go out to Tennessee. Looks like they have cut Jamal Adams, longtime safety that had been in Seattle for some time, and Jamal Adams apparently asked to be let go from the Titans, and they honored his request.
Must mean that he probably wasn't playing a lot, and they play the Ravens defense. So if fans out there, if you're saying, oh, we should go get Jamal Adams, who's the D coordinator in Tennessee? Denard Wilson. Where was he last year? Ravens. You know, so do you think he's recommending that they go get Jamal Adams? Probably not. And another interesting tidbit, we talked about it off air, Cordell. The number one and number three ranked passing defense in the league as of today is Tennessee and Miami. And the team that's last in the league is Baltimore, the Ravens. So why do we bring that up? Tennessee is Denard Wilson. Miami is Anthony Weaver. And the Ravens is Zach Orr. And they were all working together last year, and those two, Wilson and Anthony Weaver, had coordinator experience in the past, and Harbs went with the rookie, and now they're bringing in a consultant.
Yes. Yes, they are. Let's go out to New York, check in on the Jets. We know they made the big trade to get Devontae Adams, and he was apparently already in the building. It felt like 5 minutes after the trade got announced.
He caught a flight at midnight.
Yeah. He's already at Rogers' house while he's on the Pat McAfee show. He's in the building. It feels a little weird to me. I'm going to be honest. I'm just tired of this. Aaron Rodgers makes a wish, and immediately it happens. It's right there for him. I mean, how much does the dude need? But Vinny, I'll ask you, you know, I haven't been a believer in the Jets since before the season started. I'm really not surprised that it's kind of crumbling. They've already fired their head coach. But now with Adams, do you feel like their season will turn around?
You know what I kind of compare it to? When Brady went to Tampa, who'd he have to have? Gronk.
Oh, yeah. He took Gronk with him.
Yeah. So, and that worked out well. So, we'll see. I mean, I think they got a better chance now. And I like what Aaron Rodgers said. Listen, it's on the players now. We got to go do it. And they should have beat Buffalo. Mm-hmm. Kicker missed two field goals. And he threw for almost 300 yards. And they're trying to run the ball more. So, we'll see. I mean, if they lose to Pittsburgh, I mean, to me, that's a must win. That's a must win at Pittsburgh. But I think they can get on a... I think they can get on a little bit of a run because the division sucks.
Mm-hmm. Let's go out to Buffalo where they just acquired Amari Cooper. That's a big splash trade for them who had lost Stephon Diggs in the offseason, and now they get another wide receiver one to now take his place. Do you feel any differently about Buffalo now with the addition of Cooper?
Well, when the Ravens were getting ready to play Buffalo on my film stuff, I said, listen, I says, what I'd do is I'd just play man coverage mm-hmm. on those wide receivers. Nobody scares you.
Yep.
You know, so, and, you know, that was the best game that the Ravens had because there was no receivers that were really any good. The only play they made was on the deep, mm-hmm. the deep splatter play, you know, when Josh Allen scrambled. So I think it was big for them.
Let's look at tonight's game, give a picks for tonight's game. You got Denver going out to New Orleans, a depleted New Orleans team right now. Denver, up and down, what you would expect when you have a rookie quarterback starting back there. And Bo Nix, who's, you know, had his moments, low lights and highlights. Patrick Surtain in this game as well. So we're talking about stars on both sides of the sideline missing. Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed is gone.
Carr's
gone. Alvin Kamara will be there, but no Taysom Hill for the Saints as well. So I don't know who the Saints are trotting out at wide receiver today, but Patrick Surtain won't be on the field for the Broncos.
What's the over-under, Cordell? Because whatever it is, you got to take the under.
Yeah, you. I'm sure the under is probably the thing to go with. It looks like the over-under is 37.5.
So that would...
That's very low.
Yeah, I would take it because you got two rookie quarterbacks and you got a real good defense with Denver. And you got a defense that just gave up 51 to Tampa. So this is probably like NFL's worst nightmare for Thursday Night Football because we've had some hell of a mm-hmm. games. We've had some really good games. And this one is, I'll probably watch the caps till it's over.
Who are you going with tonight?
I'm going with Denver.
Denver? I want to go Denver. A piece of me feels like it could be an Alvin Kamara game. I'll go with the Saints. They were on a 4-game losing streak, I believe.
Yes,
At some point, they got to wake up. I think tonight forces them to get the ball to their best player.
And yesterday, Bob told us he's picking the Broncos, as am I, so it won't really impact our standings on the show. But as much as I don't like picking the Broncos, just too many injuries for the Saints.
Oh, yeah. I mean, your two best receivers are out, your quarterback's out, and your defense is old.
And Sean Payton returning to New Orleans.
Yeah.
So yeah. We'll see how he's welcomed back in the city that he won a Super Bowl in with Drew Brees, which feels like forever ago. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haiti, we'll get back to the Ravens. We saw a couple of trades made to start this week. We mentioned a couple of them just a few minutes ago. Could the Ravens make some moves ahead of the trade deadline? And if so, what should they look to target? We'll talk about some of the Ravens' trade deadline options next here on The Fan. With him, we'll talk a lot of that at 1:30. Right now, we're talking Ravens and the trade deadline a couple of weeks away, but we've seen a couple of moves made this week. And we look at this Ravens team, and there are some needs on this roster right now as the trade deadline approaches. Vinny, first of all, do you expect the Ravens to make any moves ahead of the deadline?
If they feel like they need somebody, they're usually good at going and getting that. If they really feel like they need somebody, maybe in a couple more weeks, Cordell, we'll see. When more teams probably become sellers mm-hmm. type. But I want to see what I want to see before I'm trading anything is just kind of like, you know, they knew about the O-line because remember we talked about the O-line, how bad it was, you know. Where can they go get somebody? Would that be a possibility? And they believed in their guys. Harbs always talks about he believes in his pass rushers, and we've heard Eric talk about believes in the young guys. I don't think they're going to do anything at inside backer because they're going to believe in Simps. The only place, Cordell, I could see him doing anything if they did it is at safety, but Marcus Williams is making $12 million a year. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I see him doing anything. It would have to be advantageous. It would have to be a good deal for the Ravens to do it. I don't see him. You know, there's no – I don't see a Roquan Smith type thing coming.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it right now. If you're talking about safety, right, and there are a couple of guys that come to mind for me. Number one, I think somebody mentioned it earlier, Buda Baker from Arizona. He's on a team deal. The team picked up his option for this year. This is the last year of his deal. And it's a nice chunk of change for this year. Now, I don't know what would happen in terms of the negotiations, how much the Ravens get Arizona to pay on that contract, and maybe that dictates what the Ravens send back over to Arizona. But Buda Baker, if we're just talking about the talent, I've always loved Buda Baker, and I think he kind of fits the way that the Ravens play. He plays hard. He's an aggressive guy back there. He'll hit. He can cover. I like Buda Baker a lot. The other one would be on a team that plays tonight on the Saints, and that's Tyrann Mathieu. And he's got his deal is pretty cheap this year. He's got a 1.5 base salary this year, 5.5 cap hit. Now, next year, it jumps up drastically. He's got an $11.3 million cap hit for next year. And then he's got three void years after that. He's 32 right now.
Yeah, to me, you know, it's almost like if you're the Ravens, it's are we saying to ourselves, been there, done that?
Now, Buda Baker's 28.
Yeah, right. But, you know, to go get the Honey Badger, because they don't need, you know, like a superstar. I mean, look how good Geno Stone was for them. Had seven picks, you know, a guy that has ball skills and was around the ball and played much more aggressive than Marcus is playing right now. Otherwise, you know, what you're going to try to do is, because the guys you're talking about, Marcus Williams is talented as those guys, light a fire under his ass. You know, and Dean Pease, former secondary guy too. So maybe they can, let's see what they do this week. I mean, if it's a continuation of what it's been, it's not good enough. It is not good enough. And we can't see, you know, arms raised up in the air like,
right,
where are you going? Right. No, come over here.
My concern with Williams is, and you're talking about lighting a fire under him,
yep,
it would have to be through words, because he knows and we know there's nobody there taking him off the field for. There's nobody to really push him internally to say, all right, we're going to bench Marcus Williams to put such and such out there. Who is that guy that, you know, that's on the roster right now? I don't think there is one. They'll throw Ardarius out there, but they'll throw him out there with him. I don't think they're taking him off the field.
Now, with Mallette coming back in there, whose place will he take? That'll kind of be when Simpson comes off the field, right?
Yeah, and I wouldn't be surprised if maybe he eats into some of Nate Wiggins' snaps as well.
Yeah, and then, you know what a good question for Harbs was, if you were going today, is are you guys working Tampa at any safety?
Mm-hmm.
Just because, I mean, on film, I love the guy. And when he was at training camp, I mean, look at all the plays he made on the ball.
Right.
Tons. And he did that at Iowa State. But I can, 4.52, 6.1, got range, length, he'll hit. I think he may be the guy who may be the free safety. Maybe it's not this year, but next year. I mean, that's kind of what I would be looking at, because you don't want a 4.52 corner with all the types of receivers that are out there nowadays. Right.
Yeah, I, to be honest with you, I don't really anticipate the Ravens being very busy at the deadline. I think there one thing I could have probably named was pass rush, but it seems like they're Ngakoue, them adding him to the active roster, they're starting to lean into him a little more. So I think maybe they feel like he's enough with what they already have that they don't need to go out and trade for somebody else. And I was never on the Hassan Reddick thing. Look, he's looking for money right now. Yeah. The Ravens don't have it. The last thing they're going to do is trade for a guy that's been holding out all year for monetary reasons.
The only thing about going for a pass rusher now, Detroit's desperate.
Yeah.
So they're going to pay more than most.
Right. Right.
So you're not going to get a guy, you know, that's legit for a bargain. Now, they may get like a Za'Darius Smith where the Ravens couldn't because, you know.
And it's a couple of teams like Detroit, Washington. I mean, it's teams out there that are winning right now, and the league is kind of up for grabs, at least especially in the NFC. So, yeah, if you need a pass rusher on that side of the ball and you're 4-2 right now, 3-3, whatever the case is. Yeah, it's going to be a bidding war for some of these guys that I just don't think the Ravens are interested in.
If I'm Detroit, I go Jadeveon Clowney, you know, and, you know, if you could get him cheap from Carolina for not much and you could add him back, you know, he'd be jacked.
Oh, yeah. To join a team that's in contention right now. I mean, he went home to Carolina for a reason. But, yeah, with
probably
that.
Find out, you know what, it's a lot more fun.
It might be. It just might be.
But I really do think that Ngakoue ends up the season with like 6 sacks or something like that. And I could see his reps going to 20 reps from 13 on Monday night. And I just think, Cordell, you know, you kind of see him getting better and better each game. And, you know, we talked no OTAs, no mini camp, no training camp. You know, you just don't walk on a field and be back to full speed. No, it's coming, you know, and this is week 3, and he had an extra couple of days. So I think he's coming.
Nola, where are you on the trade deadline? Do you want them to be busy? Do you think they should be busy? Is there anything out there you have on your wish list?
No, I don't think that they're that desperate. Or they should be. I mean, if you're going to continue to win games in the fashion they are, obviously we want the defense to, you know, clean some things up. But, you know, it's hard to argue with results and winning. And you just can't predict who's going to be available later in the year. You're not going to trade for a guy just in case someone else gets hurt. So I think in years past, when they swung these big deals to get like a Marcus Peters or even Ngakoue, even though it didn't pan out, obviously Roquan Smith was a big trade. Those were kind of desperate needs. They were really dying for that kind of help, whether it actually worked or not. I just don't see that this year.
Yeah, I'm right there with you now. A little bit of early in the season, I was wondering if Mark Andrews would be a name to watch, because at some point they're going to have to make a decision on what to do with this tight end room. You got Isaiah likely doesn't get a fifth year option. So what's going to happen there? But now with Mark kind of coming on a little bit, I think that's died down quite a bit. I don't anticipate him being moved, but that was one that if it had gone the way it was going.
And especially the way that you're running your offense,
right,
Cordell.
Right.
And you figure you got Henry for sure this year or next year probably, right?
I mean, the way it's going right now, I would say yes for next year.
Yeah. And so, you know, you kind of want to bring those as many guys as you can back. If you got the number one offense and you finish like this, try to bring back as many guys as the issue they're going to have to go get is they're going to have to go get a left tackle because Ronnie will be a free agent.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll talk some sports with Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio. See what he thinks about the game tonight. Also ask him about his Chicago Bears. All that and more next here on The Fan. Joining us right now from Fox Sports Radio, it's my guy Mike Harmon. Mike, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? Another beautiful Thursday, double Monday night action. We get a bad football game, but at least the baseball playoff continues, so that's good.
Yeah, baseball's got to be loving this, because this is most likely going to be a snooze fest Thursday night football game with all the injuries, and you got both playoff games on tonight, so should be a good night for them. I do want to start in the NFL. Let's start with your Bears. Right now, who have kind of turned the corner a little bit. Looks like Caleb Williams, the game is starting to slow down for him. He's getting the ball to all these weapons that they have out there. DeAndre Swift has picked it up big time this year. How do you feel about Chicago as they're currently set?
feeling good as they get to the bye week. Obviously, folks could point to the schedule and talk about, well, you've beaten a bunch of one-win teams. You beat who's on the schedule. There's not a whole lot you can do to control that. You could talk about the schedule makers maybe giving them a little easier path and a nice long runway for Caleb Williams, and maybe that's the case. But, you know, you go back to a meeting they had to have, and it's been well chronicled of the veterans going in and saying, hey, let's go to work here, Waldron. After the first 2 weeks that were sloppy and disconnected, disjointed, the run game was, hey, let's let DeAndre Swift try to do his best Barry Sanders instead of, hey, just run the ball north-south. Or let's design something for you to get to the edge, which is to his strength as opposed to trying to touch and feel against a line that still needs some help. So, and getting Keenan Allen back certainly helps a good stabilizer to an offense. So I think when you're looking at the progression, it's bit by bit. You know, it's coming together, slowing down, as you said, and we'll see what happens coming out of the bye, right? It'll be a step up in class, more division games, all that fun stuff. But, you know, at least for now, there's hope in Chicago. As for every other franchise in the city, you can't really say that.
Hey, Mike, what's the excitement level for the Dodgers? And I mean, I'm guessing if TV gets what they want, they get Dodgers-Yankees?
Yeah, I mean, Dodgers, they're the number one team in this city. Right. I mean, no matter what the Lakers, as big as they are, they're a distant second. I mean, when you talk about a Dodgers run and it's even there during the regular season, guys, which is kind of funny considering their regular season success for the last, 12 years, winning the division. And then let's see what happens in the playoffs. For me, I'm the, you know, try to calm everybody down and say, hey, see me in October. But the reality is, you know, they live and die with every pitch. So to have the results like last night in Walker Buehler giving them those four innings, which if you watch the broadcast and even in the social media sphere, you would have thought Walker Buehler pitched eight shutout innings instead of four. Like just the way that was hyped, because there was no expectations of what he was going to be able to do. So here in Los Angeles, it trumps everything. By far, and right now the Shohei Ohtani Express, the circumstance. I don't know why the hell you pitch to him when there's a base open. Yeah. I don't care if it's 4-0. I don't care if it's 12-0. The guy's absolutely tattooing the baseball with runners on base, and he did it again last night.
Talking to Mike Harmon from Fox Sports Radio is Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. Mike, are we going to get a close game in this Mets-Dodgers series? I mean, has it been a blowout each time the Dodgers have shut the Mets out in games 1 and 3? I mean, are we going to get an actual good game tonight?
Well, I think this is the one that sets up as perhaps the most interesting of it all. When you look at the pitching matchup, Yamamoto, who's been better, finally finding his stride, right? He missed a chunk of the season due to injury and obviously took the ball in that big game against the Padres when nobody was sure. Status, was he tipping pitches? Was he hurt again? Was he just terrible before? But he takes the ball and has a big outing. Quintana, folks will dismiss it and look at his overall stats. Last 8 start, guys, he's got an ERA under 1.
Hey.
So, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
You know, he's a former White Sox guy, so whenever I see those on a playoff team, I get excited for them because they get to see October baseball.
Hey, Mike, is there any must plays tonight? I'm not feeling this game tonight. I may be watching Caps and Dallas Stars at 7.
Yeah, I think I'd go to the new hockey season. Absolutely. For this one tonight, I think you really have Alvin Kamara and. Well, that's about it. Good night, everybody. Otherwise, we're wishing and hoping a little bit and trying to find a little bit of love because it is sparse. It is, certainly. I mean, Cortland Sutton, I guess, comes in as a back-end 2, high-end 3. But you don't have to watch to the second half because the Denver offense doesn't do anything to the second half of games. So usually when they're getting buried. And all, it's like last year. when Russell Wilson suddenly had a bunch of points for them. Funny how that works, right? So you have that opportunity. Once again, as I know you guys have been talking a lot about Russell Wilson, I'm sure they're in Baltimore as well. But those are really the only guys. I mean, if you want to get cute, you can go to New Orleans and try to find a wide receiver because both Shaheed and Olave are out. You got a guy named Bub Means who's going to be on the radar for you. Yeah, that's it. But in theory, he did work with Rattler a bunch, so maybe that gives you an option. But that's more the, hey, here's my dollar daily fantasy so I have a little bit of action. Otherwise, I think you just enjoy this game on a split screen.
Mike, you brought up Russell Wilson, and we all saw the news about the potential quarterback change for this week with Justin Fields going to the bench, Russell Wilson getting in now that he's fully healthy. The Steelers do sit at 4-2, and their offense has left a lot to be desired. The run game has been solid for the most part. How do you feel about this potential switch?
I'm not shocked at all. I mean, Fields has done a good job protecting the football, which is the big thing you're charged with. And look, you guys know as well as I do, everybody there, you're all smart football fans there in Baltimore as well, is that's the formula for Mike Tomlin. It ain't got to be pretty. Right, he had some pretty seasons when Roethlisberger was winging it around offensively, but otherwise, it's usually a let's play defense so long as TJ Watt's on the field, let's kick the ball well, and find a guy who's weatherproof, and then the offense is all about let's just not turn it over, and Fields has done that. But you know, I never thought Russell Wilson was out of the running, no matter how well Fields had played, unless he was putting up 300. And two or three touchdowns a game, Russell Wilson was the guy that they brought in to start. So as soon as he was ready to go, unless Fields was absolutely killing it, he was going to see the field. And right now, they're not efficient, right? They're leaving things on the field. It's not any fault of Fields. I think you brought in the wrong coordinator, but that's a whole other thing. But they're 4-2. I mean, it's hard to argue with the record, as it were. So you probably gain with Russell as a thrower, but you lose the, you know, elusiveness and the plays that Fields is able to make and the looks you get with that. So you got to decide in that equation which gets the bigger coefficient to guide you to a win.
Hey, Mike, I'm guessing Monday night's game, every offensive player is a must play?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, we're lining them up all over the place. Man, we did the I Watch Your Flex podcast. We just did our third of the season kind of review, and we did really a lot of bowing down to what's going on there in Baltimore and the celebration of Baker Mayfield and his receiving core, the rise of Bucky Irving, all of these things. Now you got Sean Tucker who comes in. If you haven't waiver wires hasn't cleared in your league yet, go get a last-minute check-in on him because Rashad White's the odd man out at this point. But, I mean, 49.5 guys is the total, as you well know. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a fun one. Like, this is one of the games I'm truly looking forward to. It'll be great because I get to be on air as that one unfolds alongside the Chargers and the Cardinals where it's on the other end of the spectrum. Yeah. I have no idea what the hell I'm getting in that game. So it'll be a fun Monday night.
Harbaugh versus Harbaugh, two Harbaugh brothers playing Monday night.
And that's it. No, I mean, it's the best of all worlds for us. I mean, here in L.A., you know, they've got the billboards up and certainly a health scare for Jim last week. But, you know, I got a couple of guys that work around that organization in the radio side of things. And they're like, there's an energy that hasn't been there. And they've been working with this team a decade, right? There's usually the all right, what are we going to see with this guy? That you know, enthusiasm that he jokes about, they say it's in that building all across. Now, there's still questions for the trainer's room of things they've got to solve. But beyond that, you know, there's actually excitement. And here in L.A., I think more people are at least raising an eyebrow to see what that team is becoming and what it's all about. As much as we're excited about the Rams getting Cooper Kupp back and potentially being in a big spot against the Raiders. Yeah, the Jim Harbaugh experience is certainly one that folks are jumping on board for.
Mike, great stuff as always, man. Really appreciate your time this afternoon. How can people follow your show and keep up with your work?
always find us. The iHeart app does everything. It's the global app. I get notes from people in Australia, New Zealand, and stuff. So I'm influencing people across the globe, which is beautiful. The iWatcher Flex podcast, Dan Byer and I, Fantasy, we did 4 episodes already this week. We got a 5th one that we'll cut later on tonight, previewing the rest of the week. And then, as always, on the socials, at Swollen Dome, a lot of ranting. My fat head getting leaner. Getting leaner. It's football season, so we're getting back in shape because I penalize myself for all the picks I get wrong, guys. So all of that to say, I appreciate the support and always being able to hang out with you guys.
Really appreciate your time as always, Mike. We'll talk again next week.
Be well, guys. Thank you.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll wrap things up, take one last trip through the fun house, and mention our Featured Artist Friday winner as well before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan. Got waived the other day. He cleared waivers, and they brought him back on the practice squad. So that is official. The Ravens announced that a couple of minutes ago. We did open up the votes for Featured Artist Friday. Nolan, who is the winner?
Going with a classic choice for tomorrow. Our winner is Billy Joel.
There it is.
No shortage. Plenty of songs.
Of hits to play for 4 hours tomorrow, I'm sure.
So you Billy Joel fan?
I know a couple of Billy Joel songs. I don't know if I would label myself a Billy Joel fan, but I am a fan of some of his interviews that he was a part of back in the day, especially on MTV. So I'm cool with that.
Are you a fan, Norm? I'm not.
Not a massive one.
Yeah, me either.
Yeah, I don't sit at home listening to Billy Joel's songs, so I don't think I'd be
if it comes on the radio, I'll flip the switch.
Yeah, probably. If I'm listening to the radio, it's a problem already because I rarely listen to music radio. I play
And if you're listening to a station that's playing Billy Joel, you're probably not listening to that station.
Right.
No,
right.
That means you're listening to us tomorrow.
Yeah, there it is. Let's get to that funhouse trip.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Got a few people chiming in on the Steelers quarterback situation. First one here says Justin Fields had a decent amount of snaps to prove that he's the guy. Mike Tomlin, the best in the business at mind games sometimes, would keep that in mind moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, they were 4-2. So it wasn't all bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so my guess is they want a little more oomph offensively, and they'll give it a shot. I mean, if he stinks up the joint, then, you know, we can go back. We know what we're going to get if we go back.
Yeah, and Mike brought up the good point of how Fields has at least taken care of the ball. I thought that while he's not putting up godly passing stats, it fits the formula of what Pittsburgh of their formula for success is. Yeah. Defense, run the ball, protect the ball. I thought Fields did that. It's not pretty, for sure, but when's the last time a Pittsburgh-led offense has been pretty?
This texter says, I don't understand the rush to get Russell Wilson out there. When was the last time he played inspired football? And it's not like they're financially committed to him either, so they don't feel obligated to get their money's worth.
Well, neither guy is financially obligated. Right. They're not obligated to either one. So I'm guessing, they see him in practice every day. You know, so they have a much better feel than we do. I mean, we may say, we like this, like that. And maybe in practice that Russell's lighting it up. And I'm guessing that a lot of this call is probably Arthur Smith.
Yeah, and they're on record for saying that this was Russell Wilson's job before the season started. So I do think a little of it is that, just wanting to not be labeled as liars. They want to stay true to their word. And they said when he was healthy, he'd get the job, and he's healthy now. So I think they are going to give it a look.
And one last one here. This texter says, I believe the Ravens offense is better this year than last year simply because of the Henry addition. As long as he stays healthy, he's the key that can get them over the hump, but if he's removed from the equation for some reason, I worry they won't know how to pivot.
No, well, Lamar's the conductor. I think that's one of the bigger improvements this year, too. Lamar's, you know, like checking things. He's controlling stuff. And I saw an article that Logan Paulson wrote, you know, where he said that he was on the sideline. He said, I couldn't believe all the stuff Lamar was doing, all the changes and stuff he was making.
Yeah, he talked a lot about just a lot. Some of those big plays that the Ravens hit on Sunday were plays that Lamar checked into.
Yeah.
But yeah, to the Texer, I see what they're saying. I'm not necessarily concerned about that. If for whatever reason they go up against a team that does shut down the run, that does take Derrick Henry out of the game, I don't think it'll be a situation where the Ravens are just like clueless, aren't able to figure it out. They can throw the ball as well. Lamar can help out in the run game.
Yep.
They have other guys like Justice Hill, and we would imagine Keaton Mitchell will be back soon. I still think they have enough to where they could figure it out. And even if Henry isn't running for 100+, still the threat of Henry helps that pass game in the play action game.
No.
That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next. Stay tuned for them. I'm sure they have a great show ticking you up all the way up until 6 o'clock. Until next time, class dismissed.